Hi guys, Murugi Munyi here.
It's Lydia KM.
And we're back again with another episode of
The Messy In Between.
It's definitely TMI! Well done, darling.
Well done, babe.
Every time your mom says, mommy, oh, mommy.
Yeah, that's what she calls us. Mom, mommy.
Even your sister, she calls your sister mom.
Yeah.
Oh, cute. Yeah. I thought maybe it's because you're named after her mom is why maybe.
I'm not named after her mom.
I don't know, I just assumed that.
Why? My mom's name is Fukesi, which is a South African
name. But her mom?
Which would be the South African grandparent. Uh-huh. That's why Aggie is called Nonsizi.
Oh, right. That makes sense, certainly. Certainly makes sense. Yes, yes. All right. Anyway, welcome, guys, to another episode of our podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We don't take it for granted that you saw that we have a new video up, we have a new episode up, and you clicked on it and you are here. And we hope that you will stay until the end of the episode. Thank you for being here. Please subscribe if you are not subscribed already. We will never tire. I saw someone else saying, actually, what are some icks about YouTubers always telling us to subscribe? I was like, well, I don't know what to tell you. Just subscribe.
Eek away, honey.
Yeah, this is just like, because, yeah, please subscribe. Yeah. For me, sometimes I'm just like, these views or like the number of people follow us on Instagram, but you're not subscribed. It's just like, unless you really just don't want to subscribe.
Yeah.
Because I wish you guys knew how much it means to us when you actually do subscribe. It helps our numbers. Mm-hmm. It helps us with predictability in terms of our insights. It also helps us get money for the podcast to keep operating. Because as we say, production is not cheap, but we really do our best to be here, to show up and to keep giving you guys the content that you love and that we love creating. So do please subscribe. Follow us on our social media handles, TMI Podcast KE, Lydia KM, and Murugi Munyi. Mm-hmm.
And you know, when that about that ick is that people respond to being told something over and over again. You who subscribed, it's like okay, guys, we hear it. But there's someone who probably even now
it's
hasn't checked
not
if they've subscribed, you know? Yeah. Thank you so much for being here, guys, always. I love the way you say, we don't take it for granted.
We don't
take it for granted.
Really, honestly.
We don't. Mm. And we love the way that we are growing. Also, we want to shout out, by the way, to Lydia. Because she shouted
Lydia
us out.
Dinga,
yes. Yeah, she shouted us out on one of her episodes and we really appreciate it. She messaged me as well about how much she loves TMI. Mm. TMI is to the world.
That's the
TMI
thing.
TMI is to the world
oh
now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
yeah,
thank
and we
you
really
so
love
much,
that.
Lydia.
Thank you, Lydia. And thank you to all the in-betweeners who sent to us.
Yeah, like,
because
yeah,
some of you guys are like, oh my God, Lydia mentioned you guys. And we're like, how lovely. How fantastic.
She's
follow
amazing.
Her channel as well. Yeah, mm. She does really great content, like home content and stuff like that. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
So do follow her. Now, a lot of you guys loved our episode on therapy, which I don't know if I would say I'm surprised about a little
you
bit.
Are.
I am actually surprised. Let me just say I'm a little bit surprised because I wasn't sure like how will people respond to it just because anytime we mention therapy, I feel like to a lot of people, it's still a very like, unknown world and still a very it's over there and I'm over here. Mm. But I feel like in that episode a lot of people were able to demystify what it's like to be in therapy and what like the kind of things that we learn. And I think us sharing our journeys was definitely helpful to some people.
Yeah. I personally feel like it's one of those, it's just like anything that's like somewhat taboo. Mm. It's like if you think about it from the perspective of how are people going to receive it, you will never talk about it.
Yeah.
Because even like, oh, how are people going to react to like two women talking about sex so openly? If you think about it like that way, it's like you will never be someone who moves conversation forward. Mm. So I know therapy sometimes is just like, oh God, here we go. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
But I feel like it's so impactful, even if it's like 5-10 people who are just like, by the way, this thing has really been bothering me, or I feel like I want help to navigate life. That was it. The episode was for them.
I realized actually as we were shooting it, is like for my own platform, Murugi Munyi, I like speaking about things that I know the majority of people can relate to, as opposed to like, this is a conversation I want to have, but if I feel like a lot of people can't relate to it, then I'm unlikely to actually speak about
that
it.
That is so interesting. Yeah. I think I'm the complete opposite.
Yeah, I think you are for
sure.
I think and that's why sometimes people will be like, oh, but I can't relate because like, you're just not where she is. So me, I always think from the point of how many people are in this place where I am and then speak about that thing.
Oh yeah, majority of the time, the way I think about it is like, if I have information, more information, that people require is like, how can I move that forward? Mm. Especially when it is something people just aren't aware of, like access to therapy.
Yeah.
People didn't seem to feel like that's something that was within their reach. Mm. So it's just like someone is maybe suffering, people are going through things, but they don't know that there's a free place they can go and talk to someone. Exactly. And that gnaws at me. Even if maybe some people would just be like, okay, I don't relate to this. I feel like that person who needs help, that's the person you're speaking to. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's read just a few of the comments that people left in that a therapist once said.
I went onto the video.
You weren't on the video already? Oh. Okay. Well, now that you're done watching your ad, let's now begin. Let's read some of the comments that we got on that episode about a therapist once said. Sunshine Vicky said, if you see the way I therapize everything these days because of you people, I'm loving the growth in me. Now imagine how much more you'd therapize if you actually went to therapy.
I feel like, I hope to God you go to therapy. Because please. Who are you therapizing?
Yeah. Please. And then also ask, you know, us, we are not trained professionals. We literally just come to speak here from a point of our own experience and our own knowledge, not from until we've gone to school to go and study something or anything. Ooh. There's always so much more knowledge out there. We literally, we're just like big sisters. But no, it's not that because you've spoken to your large sister, you're not going to go to therapy. Also no, go to therapy.
Definitely. And when people are just like, oh, lady, you're my therapist.
Yeah.
Because the one like, you know, you should go talk to someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. My friend was telling me, Stella, she was just like, lady, every time you ask me, like, maybe you tell me maybe I should talk to someone. I'm like, I'm talking to you.
I am talking to you.
No, I don't mean, I mean like someone who is professionally trained to talk to you about this.
That's my man. I'm always like, babe, you know, you should go to therapy. He's like, yeah, spending time with my kids is my therapy.
We're unpacking that. We're unpacking that response. Zacchaeus. Beatrice Moringi, 4120, is saying, what a beautiful episode. As a counselor in the making, this episode hits home. The first time I heard about quote unquote people pleasing was in therapy 4 years ago. I just thought I was a nice person. Ha, laughing faces. People pleasers started off as parent pleasers. We don't just happen, we are made by our experiences.
Oh, yeah, and, absolutely. And you
know what? That is very in line with today's episode.
That one, hold on to that. Hold on to that thought that she has said. There's someone who says, it's like I'm in therapy already, OMG. I guarantee you, you're not. The people pleasing is definitely true and it's something I'm really working on. Thanks, babe, for this. I will start therapy and update you. Much love. Thank you. We look forward to seeing your update. This thing of people pleasing, I feel like it's like more people are people pleasers than the ones who are not. It almost feels like it's the default for many women to be people pleasers.
Because most boomer parents parented in a way that made us feel like our job was to please them.
Yep.
So then that's why a generation of all of us are people pleasers. That means the generation of parents must have been somewhat similar. But women, for sure, we are already trained to be the ones who are kind of thinking about other people's needs and stuff. Yeah. Missy Demau is saying, going to therapy helped me to identify my insecurities, my strength, my weakness, and toxic traits. But when it came to finding solutions with conflict I was having with person A and person B, I always felt like there was something missing. There are certain things you just have to hear from the horse's mouth, I guess. Most of the time I would explain myself to my therapist since sentence like, I get you. I understand you would follow, but that didn't really help me because the people that were supposed to say those words were never, I get it. And so, that's a really good point. So sometimes you go to therapy and you're just like, this happened to me. Someone did something bad to me. And then the therapist tells you, I hear you. I see you. I see how this is going. But what you want is the person who did that thing to do it. Now, what therapy does, it's not going to make that person say it. I'm so sorry. That is not the job of therapy. What therapy is going to do is help you shift your perspective at the fact that they can't say it, they're unable to say it, or they won't say it. And also give you the tools to live with that reality. Because actually, a lot of therapy is about telling you how to live with reality. Because sometimes, like, you've suffered a loss. Your therapist is doing nothing about that. But they can help you with the tools to deal with your reality. So, if you are going to therapy with that, like, if you're still holding on to this person saying something, that's actually why we go to therapy. Yeah.
And a lot of the times it's that whole element of like, even you want that person to validate your feelings, or you want that closure or something like that, or you want them to say, I see how I hurt you.
Yeah, I was
and
horrible.
I'm so sorry that I hurt you. That hardly ever comes out of their mouth. It's like it hardly ever. Sometimes your therapist can give you a tool and say, if this is what you want for your partner, you can tell them, I'm really looking for you to affirm and validate my feelings.
Why
in this
can't they
moment.
Just say it?
Yeah.
Go to therapy.
Yeah, go to therapy. Exactly. But it's like, that reality of just like you
it's
need
hard.
To learn actually how to be okay and move on with knowing that this person might never, ever, ever say it.
Yeah. And that's the dance, guys. That's the therapy dance.
Literally,
and I know a lot of the, actually something which I found myself a bit aware of when you were talking about therapy and the feelings wheel and being able to like point at what you point at what you feel. I'm loving your therapy journey because I get to see it from like actually like a beginner place. So it's like something like that. I would never really think that my audience would value that kind of, because I don't struggle with that. I never have struggled with being able to feel in my body what I feel and use my words to express it. So it's like there's a way I'm seeing that maybe like, you know, there's another world that I probably don't see and I could tailor fit to. So all that to say, when sometimes I do talk, it does sound like it's like I'm all the way over there, but really you can be wherever you are and just take the small steps towards that.
But it's also encouraging now to me, like as a beginner, to know that there's a time that I will get to where you are.
For sure.
Where it's like there are small things that you don't struggle with. For me, it's still just really those small, small things of just like identifying and validating. I feel this way.
Yeah.
You need to sit in that feeling and you can't just fight it. You just need to let it come, let it rain down and it'll pass like a cloud.
Let it rain down.
It'll pass like a cloud. And like sometimes this part, I feel like, I don't know if I would say this part is harder. It just feels like a huge change from just like the way you're used to living, like just the basics of life. Like, as I'm speaking to someone and you say something triggering and she's like, ask yourself, what about what she said triggered you? How does it make you feel?
Yeah.
Kind of.
That's the worst part because you don't have the tools like to kind of see the perspective yet. Like, because when I go to therapists, I feel like I just know what's going to happen in terms of, it's like not going to be earth shattering.
Yeah.
So you don't have the tools to know that it's like all is well, but you're still going through all of the changes.
Exactly.
And those constant thinking about, it gets better.
Does it?
Yes!
Oh, it thank
does.
You!
It does. It does. And especially you're doing weekly.
Yeah.
Girl, I'm telling you, by the end of this year,
yeah.
This one, Maluki for president.
Let's wait and see.
Yeah.
Anyway, so part of that episode, I think we spoke a bit about like what some things that we uncovered based on our childhood or that therapy helped us uncover. And I was just telling Lydia before this, sometimes you kind of feel like, why do I have to go back to my childhood?
Let's start here.
Why can't I just, now here already, I know that I push people away. Let's say, for example, can I just learn not to push away without having to go back to, why do you push people away? But Lydia, I loved your analogy because she's like, it's like starting to read a book from the middle. And like, obviously you don't understand what the origin is. Like you need to be able to know the beginning so that the book makes sense to you.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a really good point.
Yeah, because paradigm shifts usually start from like this core part of where did you even get the idea of pushing people away? Like, why are we even doing this? We need to know why we are doing it so that we can see how to unravel it. And sometimes not everyone goes there, but I feel like it's a really helpful way because it gets to, it shows you a really good perspective of who you are.
Yeah. We really wanted to do a follow-up, but like a maybe slightly less heavy, version of speaking
last
about like
therapy.
Exactly. Now this time is generational trauma, but like slightly unserious generational trauma.
Yeah.
But the reality is that the word trauma in itself is traumatic.
Or curse.
It's like you've been through something, you know? So because now we spoke about all that therapy, now we're talking about generational curses or generational trauma, but unserious ones. We probably will do a part two of this one
and talk about
more serious ones. Yeah, let us know if you guys would want that. But this one, we just asked you guys on Instagram. It's just like, we wanted a slightly lighter one. And for these ones, the difference between this one and like the most serious ones is that these ones probably require just a decision. Like, this is what I experienced growing up and I'm not going to do this to my kids. And now I'm just doing it differently.
Yeah.
So, and like, a lot of them don't require like, oh, why did, you know, why did, what was the feeling?
It's like those tiny little things which you were just like, in your head, even you were thinking, this is dumb.
Yeah.
This is dumb and I don't want to do it to
my kids. And I don't want to do it to my kids. And not necessarily even just to your kids. Maybe even just to yourself or even your home. Because some of the ones that guys submitted were literally just like for themselves or for their home.
Yeah.
For example, someone said, an unserious generational trauma they are breaking. Having clothes for going outside. They will wear Sunday best at home on a Thursday, which I like. Yeah, it's like this sort of just like these dresses, these princess dresses that you guys had as kids.
Yeah.
It's only for Sunday. Literally, no. You can decide on, you're going to school on a Tuesday and you want to wear the princess dress. Case in point, Mama Olive's kids.
They dress however they want all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like, actually, there's a lot of the way Mama Olive parents that's just so free. It's like, relax. It's like, let kids be kids. That's something a lot of us didn't get.
Yeah.
A lot of our parents were treating us in a way that is like, we're kind of adults. It's just so weird.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Literally,
yeah.
Let them wear whatever they want.
Yeah, I agree with that one. This one is mine. A generational curse, which I'm a non-serious generational curse, which I want to
break.
That's
a really long sentence.
Yeah.
You know? Let's just say another one is...
Yeah, but you know when they cut the rails. Another a generational curse that I'm breaking is punishing my kids for accidentally breaking things. Mm. And I understand that the parent is the one who is paying. So it's like the pinch is on me.
Yeah.
But when I break it, who punishes me? Like, it's an accident. You know, if I'm like, please get off the couch because you're going to, if you break something, then that is like, I can see why someone is mad at that. But it's like, you're going about, or like you slip or something, or you break a glass. Mm-hmm. Why am I shaking? Why am I trembling? There's this fear.
Yeah.
This fear that was just always around. Let me tell you, I think definitely for sure, I see why my mom was mad. Mm. But when, I don't know how old I was a teenager at some point, right? We had this glass dining table.
That one, you deserved it. What?
Relax.
That's not an accident.
Relax.
Tiny cup.
Relax.
Let me even know. Let me show you.
No, let me tell you what happened, right? Mm-hmm. I literally leaned on it like this. And let me tell you, it broke. And do you know what? You know when you're like, you're
shaking.
No, it's like, this is not real. I'm not here.
No, this didn't happen.
No, I'm not here. Even to date, I remember because we were waiting for my mom to come back from work.
She wasn't even there.
No. I
so
wish.
You have time to ruminate.
To ruminate.
To boil.
You're thinking about how can you put the glass.
Oh my
that
God.
That was horrible. But I remember that. It's like, that makes sense. It's like, that's a really big thing. What the hell? What are you doing even breaking it, right?
Yeah.
And also, if the parent is not around, it's like, they don't know if it was an accident or you are being dumb. But the idea of like, if I break something as an adult, it's like, oh, oopsie. I broke a glass. But when a child does it, a child who is like, they're not even fully developed, it's like a horrible punishment. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
That's it. Mm-mm. Actually, yeah, that whole concept is like bad. And I get it. It's like, if your child is always, every day they have to break something, obviously there's an issue.
And also, let's
address
baby,
the problem.
What's going on?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Let's address that issue.
You know?
But yeah, definitely not just getting angry at them for doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And speaking of punishment, I am breaking the generational curse of beating children.
Ooh.
Like, just beating
don't
kids.
Don't switch off.
Yeah.
And I agree.
Hurting children to teach them a lesson. It's just like, no, like, absolutely not. And I know,
I don't understand
all African
that.
Parents.
To me, it's
just,
weird.
It's
like,
just,
why?
It's,
why do you need to physically harm me?
That's the thing. And I know a lot of parents feel like that's the one that really in that moment teaches them the lesson. But does it really? Because at some point children just become like, okay, I'll be beaten, and then it's gone. I feel like having more of like a conversation around why they did what they did, taking away privileges, you know, having other kinds of punishment besides physical abuse, because that's what it is. Beating your children is physical abuse. Mm. That's definitely a conversation that needs to be had.
And the truth is, what I think is that the reason why it comes off like as is the one that's working the most, or the one that's like going to stop the child from doing something, is because it's the one that causes physical harm. It's the physical harm that's the problem. It's not even necessarily that's like a teachable moment. It's like it's right up there, because I mean, if you take my phone away, that does feel bad, and it's gonna teach me how to do something different without the pain, physical pain. I agree. Another generational curse that I'm breaking is obedience without reason. And let me tell you, there are some places where I, the parent, I don't want you to eat that fork. This is going to happen. You need to just listen to me, right? Mm-hmm. But there are so many things I feel made us so like obsessed with just listening to authority that so many people don't think for themselves. And where you put your child puts you, and the things that they put you, they replace them with other people. So if I've learned that, it's like, you can just tell me what to do. My autonomy doesn't matter. And me, I'm told what to do, and that's it. If I ask if there's
now
a reason,
it's
a punishment. That's what becomes with a man. That's what you have with friendships, your boss, all of these things. With friendships, you're not able to be a person who thinks for themselves or reason, because you are told the idea is to follow the orders and that's it. And I want to have a dynamic which is just like, there is obedience in that I'm the adult and I know better, but tell me why.
Yeah.
Tell me what's going on. Like, invite me into the process of what I'm being asked to do.
Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful way to parent.
I definitely absolutely agree with you. Obviously, as she said, except where like physical harm is involved. I'm not taking the time to tell you not to jump into the lake when you can't swim. No. I'm not telling you right now. But yeah, being able to like make kids part of the process is important. And just the other day, I was thinking to myself, not enough people spend enough time having conversations with partners who they are going to have children with or who they are already pregnant by about their parenting styles.
Oh, yeah.
So a basic question like, so do you believe that kids should have a say in, you know, big family decisions?
Yeah.
Do you believe in believing children when they say this person hurt me?
Yeah.
This person touched me inappropriately.
The fact that that's even a question is a problem.
But the thing is that you kind of need to, because a lot of times you have never seen this person as like parent anyone.
Yeah.
And by the time you're getting married, a lot of people haven't seen the other person parent anyone. And you need to actually talk about this. Do you believe in beating children?
Yeah, I usually ask that. I ask that because that to me is like, no.
Do you believe in diapers? Do you know there's someone who messaged me and said that she got married and her man was just like, you can't use diapers on my child. You have to use nappies. Nappies are the cloth ones which are reusable, which you have to wash. And now she's stuck there not using diapers. She's using nappies because her man has said,
married to spoons. You're married to spoons.
Some things you have to actually have conversations about. Because
that's
like, yeah,
crazy.
This one about explaining to your child. Because I know sometimes it's just like annoying. Like, oh, mama, why? Why can't we whatever? Why do I have to wear the seatbelt? Why do you? And you don't realize that at some point it really does feel like annoyance. And I know that. But it's less annoyance if you just tell them and now they just know. Now they know. You wear seatbelts because you need to remain safe. And because if I take an Instagram story when you're not in a seatbelt, they'll cancel me.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's like you're teaching them. Like, where else do they learn?
That's it.
It's like literally your responsibility is to let this person know how the world operates. So when they're going around things, doing things without reason, it's like, what are you doing? What's your job then?
Exactly.
It's like, you know, you want them to learn from you,
exactly.
You know? And I know I can see how parenting is so tedious and this it's like right now this is not what I'm thinking about, Jake, all right?
Yeah.
You know, and I know you can be impatient, but I feel like as a practice to just, you know, listen in. This around all of this that we are saying is that a generational curse that I'm breaking is respecting my children and my children's feelings. Actually, some of these things that I'm saying,
these are pretty serious.
And not even though I'm not even feeling like I don't even think necessarily some of these things I felt, or some of them I actually picked up from my mom doing them, but I've seen that generally children aren't, you know?
Like, even from what's posted on social media where somebody can like make a joke about, oh my God, the way our African parents beat us. My God, the way we went through this. And it's just like, is it funny?
I tend to not be in that group of being parented with this kind of harshness and for sure. But one thing my mom used to say all the time is respecting children. And something you learn, a lot of people pleasers and people who repress their emotions is that they were never shown that how they feel about anything matters. So it's like, I feel like I don't want to do this. My feelings were never included in any decisions. It's like whether I feel good about it or whether I don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And I think it would be good to include that. Yeah, that was a serious one. Sorry.
That was pretty serious. Yeah, wrong episode.
When I was writing, I was, you're just expressing yourself.
Okay, keep the serious ones for
I'm
next
done
time.
With mine even. I'm done with mine even.
Okay, fine. Another one that a lot of you guys submitted is people, they are not using ice cream containers for storage. We are buying Tupperware. We are buying glass containers. We are buying proper storage containers. Ice cream ikiisha, please throw the container. Blue band ishas, throw the container. I don't know where our parents got this thing of like, there's some intrinsic value in plastic containers. I don't know if you guys would do that in the UK. Not so much.
That's not something I can remember so much.
Yeah, but anyway, here.
And
Danish
also,
cookie tins, and you open, it's not cookies inside.
It's a generation before. They were going through a lot. They were. Another thing people said a lot was, we are not, we're going to use all the dishes. There's no like dishes for the visitors. What is that?
Yeah, a lot of households, it would be like in our house, I remember there was like utensils.
Crockeries,
which they got, let's say, for their wedding. So it's like, we would never, ever touch them or ever use them, but it's literally like a full set of plates, cups, bowls, and everything.
Yeah.
And it's only for when visitors come in our house. Nothing like that, please. No.
Oh, yeah?
And it's almost like it's teaching your kids, you are not good enough to use the good stuff.
Yeah.
But the people who are coming are better, so they deserve to use it. We are saying no to that. We're saying no to that. Let everything be used all the time by everyone, especially those who live in this household.
Someone is saying, I'm breaking all the generational curses by not bringing in more generations.
But actually, that's not true, though.
For me, I heard that sounded like an amen to me.
Really?
That sounded like, do you know what? I don't want to do this. And it dies with me. Mm. It all dies with me. By the way, I have a lot of respect for people who choose to be childless because they don't think they'll be good parents. They don't want to have children. And the fact that they're brave enough to have that decision, despite how much pressure people get for they have to have children. No, I think it's great. I think it's wonderful.
Or could it be that if someone thinks they're going to be a bad parent, you're just not willing to do the work to become a good parent?
Either way, if you know you're not willing to do the work to become a good parent, fantastic, because you definitely shouldn't be a parent. Because guess what? There are people who definitely don't do the work to be better parents, and they're parents. Mm. And we're just creating more generations of kids who are going to need therapy every 2 minutes.
But also, don't you feel like even though you don't bring in more generations, you still impact children around you?
Israel, I'm sure, to a certain degree.
My kids, but anyone
not
who you interact
as
with.
Potently,
okay,
as
not
a parent.
As potently, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah. Where's another one? Oh my, someone says the trauma they are breaking is living the exact same lives my parents did.
Ooh, fair
is that
enough.
A serious one though? That feels like a bit of a serious one.
You know, these are mixed because people are angry. People are angry. People are mad. Like somebody said, black tax.
Maybe they don't have money.
But black tax is something we want to break. You want to break here. You literally said that 2 minutes ago.
Did I?
Yes.
When did I say that?
When we were on the bed making out.
But I told you it's dichotomous. I told you there's something about it that I love, but there's something about it that I hate. But I wouldn't say that I want to break it.
No, you want to break it because you were saying that you don't want your kids to have to be caring for you. That's what black tax is.
I guess so.
What do you mean?
Let me tell you what I think. I feel like there's an extent to which the West, UK and US places, there's an extent to which that seems like what the other extreme of being completely.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I don't think that's a world that I want to live in. I definitely like the, we are in a community, we take care of each other, we help each other because we don't all have the same. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, well, and that could still be considered black tax. Mm-hmm. That regard, I still feel like that's something that's valuable and it's something that's helpful because like this, I mean, in which world is it that everyone grows old and they have all the money to take care of themselves? Mm-hmm. There's no let's changa for this, let's changa for that. That's something that I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. But maybe the extent to which it is ingrained here, where it's like, it's a duty, you must. That's the one. Yeah, exactly.
Because community is not, and charity is not.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Helping
charity.
And supporting all of that are not.
Yeah.
But the black tax
for sure.
The one. Yeah, yeah, that one we're definitely going. Mm-hmm. This one is so serious.
This one particular one, someone said, an unserious generational trauma they are breaking is my kids don't have to finish their food by force. A lot of people said this, and oh my God, me personally, I realize how much growing up, and I think it actually has affected my relationship with food now as an adult, of like, you've served food, you must eat it, you must finish it. It doesn't matter if you're full halfway, it doesn't matter if too much was served, if the food has been served for you, you must finish.
That's so weird to me.
And you literally cannot stand up. And a lot of African parents were or are like that.
So many people said that.
You've been served food and it's disrespectful to either say no, even if you go somewhere and you've been served, you could be vegan, but I've served you a plate of beef stew, but it's just rude. You just can't say no.
Yeah, that's another thing. I definitely didn't grow up with.
And I remember Kit, when I was doing sleep training for one of my kids, she was just like, kids don't have the ability to starve themselves. They're not like adults who can be like, oh, I want to lose weight, so I don't want to eat. It's not a choice for them. When they're hungry, they eat. If they're not eating, it means that they're not hungry. Mm-hmm. But why do we make kids have to eat and they all have to eat on this schedule? So if Mutana is not hungry, but Kenny is hungry, they must both eat. Why?
Yeah, that's so weird.
Yo, don't force your kids to have to eat, because then you grow up, now you start having, you know, weight issues, or you start having food, what is it called? This food
body dysmorphia.
Yeah, body dysmorphia, or I mean just any of these disorders, you know, that like, I don't know, anorexia or things like that. It's really dangerous, actually.
Yeah, I think it's odd And I know for sure that that happened. And also there's sometimes where it's just like the weight of the child is somehow like deciding whether or not you are a good parent. So that, because the child needs to be a particular weight. And, you know, there was so much that was going on with like how your child looks or their health that is like was so attached to you as a parent that it became like it's by force. Yeah. And also it's like, it's true. Why would a kid refuse to eat? Like if they don't want to eat, it's like maybe they're done.
But you see, it's more at the convenience of the parent. It's just like if it's easier for me if I'm serving you all at the same time, the same food. So it's easier for you. We finished and we finished lunchtime. Not like you have eaten, now it's 1 o'clock, now it's 3 p.m. And that's when now this other one is hungry. So I have to go warm for that other one food. It's like it's more for my convenience than it is for the kids.
Okay, fair enough. Another generational curse someone is breaking is sending my kids away because adults are talking. If it's sensitive and not appropriate, then I can ask them not to. People said that a lot. Like, you know, when adults are talking, like children aren't allowed to talk. Whereas it's like, sometimes a bit of an impossible because their kids, their mind doesn't work that way just yet to understand that. And then you get punished or shouted at or belittled. Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing too, I guess, also with like the respecting children and it being that even if visitors have come into the home, this is your home. So you deserve to be here in this sitting room as much as the visitors deserve to be in this sitting room.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense. But if it's like obviously very adult themes that you're discussing or things that they shouldn't be hearing, then it makes sense to send them away. But not from a point of like, you don't matter when other people are, other adults are around, but more from you guys should go and play in the other room so that we can have a conversation.
Which is a healthy boundary.
Two very different things. Absolutely three very different things. Someone else said, letting the firstborn parent the younger siblings, can we just let them be children?
Parentification, and it builds, it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
That's a word I just learned in therapy, actually, the parentification kind of thing. And it's like, there's a difference between you are helping your parents, like, you know, oh, can you help me to put them together vis-a-vis, you are solely responsible for these children and we have gone out. And
it's always starts very subtle way, like you know, and the way we encourage, you know, be a good big sister, a good big brother, and automatically, usually, when another child comes, it's like you're no longer a child, whereas really they're also a child. There's just a younger one, But sometimes I feel like the dance is delicate.
It's a very
delicate dance.
Similar to always allowing your youngest child to be right in any fight or in any argument.
That's madness. Yeah, that is maddening.
Yeah, it's just be like, oh, she's just small. Just forgive her. So you just give her the toy kind of thing. But it's just like, no, because the small one also needs to learn. Like, you can't just go and beat your sister every single time. And then could also build that resentment of like every single time they choose the smaller one. So they must love her more than me. Now there's still sibling rivalry and it's just like, it's messy.
Funny enough, it was my mom who made this confession, and I don't know if I ever realized it, where she was like, there's so much, like when Aggie was like born, that she had so much focus on Moana, the baby. Moana, like all the time, even in the way like she spoke to us, or everything was kind of like more about like the young one, right? And which it was, I don't know what had happened with Aggie, but it definitely seemed like Aggie was more like, why am I not being asked permission in this situation? Which was like, it was like, it's fine, it's valid, but it's like my mom connected with the two. It was just like very much kind of dotting on the baby and the things like that. And I know for sure there was a period where, especially when my mom had relocated, where there was definitely that I actually fully almost responsible, and there was a lot of resentment built because there's a lot of characteristics I picked up about caring for others, whereas she didn't.
It's just like last bones are just like existing because everyone takes care of them, and it's just you as the older ones, you're just like, it's a dance. I won't count how many times you've said it's a dance in this episode.
Oh my God. That's my new thing, guys. It's a dance. 28,000
times. Ooh, another one says, a trauma they're breaking is my kids should struggle just because I also struggled. I remember us having this conversation where I was just like, imagine someone saying that because you had a horrible time in high school, and you know it made you into the person that you are because you overcame struggle, you also want your kids to go through a bad high school so that they can also go have a difficult time and overcome that struggle.
Yeah, I heard that. Someone said, taking my kids to public school to harden them.
No. I just feel like we don't live in that land anymore. I feel like no one can deny that going through any kind of struggle makes and overcoming it makes you a more resilient person. But I feel like you can become a resilient person through other life experiences vis-a-vis. And life will be hard anyway. Why should I, as the parent, intentionally put you into hard situations to make you learn the lesson?
This is something, you know, I get like, I guess, random parenting stuff. And I'm very much into like the gentle parenting and seeing what that dance is like, even though I'm not a parent myself. And one thing which I always see like being debated about is this thing of like being like, you know, sensitive to your child's needs and all of these things versus, you know, preparing them for the outside world. I find it so weird that a parent thinks it's their job to throw madness at me so that I can build the resistance of pain and shock and whatever. Mm. I do think that the way parenting ought to be is like, I can't raise you to be somebody who's an egg. That you can't, you don't know how to respect other people's boundaries. You don't know how to respect other people. You don't know discipline, all of this. It's because you won't be able, it will be a struggle to survive in the outside world. But to imagine that in my home, it's my job to toughen you up with like, you know, building your resistance to abuse. And I find that so weird.
Yeah, it's
like,
actually
why
crazy.
Can't your job be to love me? And then when I go to the outside world, which will eventually do what it's gonna do to me anyway, I have a loving place to come back to.
Exactly. There's a Swahili saying that says asiyefunzwa na mamae okay, asiyefunzwa na mamae.
Oh god. Oh dear. Not mamae.
Mamae atafunzwa na uli Mwengu. That basically means if you're not taught by your mom, the world will teach you. So I think some people take that like
literally
like, okay, so if you the world has not yet beaten you, let me beat you so you can know what it's going to feel like when you're beaten out there.
No, I'm sorry.
Crazy.
And you know, can I say something?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people take the opportunities to be bullies in parenting. It's like there is a high about the fact that you have this helpless little person who can't fight back and you can just put all your stuff on them. Like, because a lot of people are bullied, but their first bullies were parents.
But I think
their
it's definitely, bullies. I feel like it's definitely subconscious. Like you don't even, they don't
no,
even
they
realize
don't. Oh,
they're
for sure.
It,
I know you're not genuinely meaning to bully me, but that dynamic, there's people who get that high of that. It's like, but first of all, when I say whatever I have control, it's me who decides what happens to you. It's
someone else is breaking the trauma of apologizing to their children when they actually do something wrong.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Most
parents. I do that all the time. Sometimes it takes me some time.
Which is okay.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes me some time. It's just like when I know I've lost my cool and I shouldn't have yelled. It's just like it'll be a bit. Then little just be like, Mkene, I'm really sorry that I shouted at you. Mama was just a little bit angry because, you know, you ate the iPhone charger and now it's broken and it's gonna cost me 5,000. So it was very upsetting to me. That's a real life example, actually.
Really?
Yes. So yeah. So sometimes it takes a minute.
Yeah.
For you to regain
it.
And I
think there's so much in parenting that needs a minute. It's like I don't think all of these things are just like it will come automatically because also we were raised a particular way. So it's like we still have our stuff when it comes to parenting as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's so nice. I feel like it's such a validating experience
to
know you, big adult, who
also
doesn't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I really like that.
I think it's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Some people say, okay, go ahead.
Let's see, someone is saying it's okay to get dirty after playing outside. Yeah, that being beaten, go play outside, but dare you come with that.
But the outside you sent me to was dusty. There was dust outside, but somehow I should have played without actually getting dirty. Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, see, Omo changed that and said dirt is good. I actually really loved that. That's like one of the best campaigns for
100%,
like washing powder.
Just exactly. Dipping herself in mud. Head to toe.
Dirt is good. But yeah, it just makes sense. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think, but there's some, I feel like sometimes it's like envy between parents and kids, right?
Ooh,
it's like when you're in your hardness and you're going through life and things that so a lot, it's like the joy of your children is triggering.
Yeah.
The freedom of your child, like they feel like they can just do anything. That's triggering.
Yeah.
Knowing that you are in bondage.
Oh my God, that's dark.
Yeah,
that it is, really though. Got dark very quickly.
Because what are you getting punished for?
Yeah, and I think also, okay, sometimes I guess it's coming from that place of like, yeah, it's triggering to see them so free and so happy. Yeah. But also sometimes you're just stressed and tired and then you see the child dirty and you're not even thinking about, oh yeah. And it's just like, wow, one more thing on top of the reports I need to do, on top of these other things, now I need to worry about your dirty clothes, which will they even be replaceable?
Why are we parenting? Why are we having kids?
Why are we
this
making?
Is too much. That's this is too much. This is too much.
Yeah. But and then another thing that I, as I read some of these responses, you see a difference in the way perhaps somebody from a lower income household, the kind of experiences they had, and you can kind of understand where their parents are coming from.
Yes. Right?
This frustration, but also maybe your parents literally could only afford that one Sunday outfit. So even when you're saying, oh, you know, you can't wear the you can wear the Sunday outfit on Thursday, that's privilege. To some extent, right. To be able to say that, because I know you can wear a dress on Thursday and you can wear a dress on Sunday. Mm. Or, you know, you can eat, because someone else had said that, you know, the way we're growing up, your parents would never allow you to pick any other candy or cookies from the supermarket. But maybe they're like, they're can't. Breaking it. They're like, you want Oreos? We are getting Oreos. You
but
want,
you can't
exactly. But if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. So there's definitely that element. But my prayer for all of us is that we would be able to grow up, all of us, in better, or raise our kids in better financial circumstances than even our parents were able to, unless they were billionaires, in which case just aim for the same level.
Yeah, actually, I feel like a lot of times I empathize with people who are parenting in a low income household because that's like a different level of stress. And to be mincing your, you know, I don't want to shout at you when you break a glass or what. No,
when you're thinking about survival,
things and the parenting are all really mixed up together. I empathize a lot. I really do. Someone is saying another generational curse that they're breaking is not doing stuff. We don't all have to be pretending to be busy and every time it has to be like to do, like Saturday. Why are we all up at the crack of dawn to prove what? To prove what? Who are we proving? You don't want to be up. I don't want to be up. Can we all rest?
But when people are doing 5 a.m. club, of course you feel like you have to be up early.
Well, on Saturday.
Yeah, 5 a.m. club you were doing for Saturday as well.
Because I was even building Sunday. Discipline. Pitch. Even oh, Sunday.
God. You were...
Yeah, I feel that's like that idea, mm-hmm. like when you just lie down in the sofa, your mom walks in the room. Why?
Where are we just been?
Why have you sat up? Why are you not allowed to
And now
lie?
You're just like... But you're doing nothing.
You're doing nothing, but rest. You just always had to. It's like you're an employee in your own home. It's
an
weird.
An unpaid employee.
It's like kids, let kids be like that. Let me tell you, once let they get out of your house, this is all they'll do. They'll be sat upright all the time. Let them rest.
Here's something. My dad always was like that. It's just like he couldn't see how you're still asleep. It's like after 8 or it's after 9. He's like, now get up and make the bed and, you know, do things or whatever. I was just be like, but where are we going? We're literally on holiday.
Yeah.
Why? Where are we going? Oh my God, me on holiday, I let my kids sleep until whatever time. You want to get out of bed at 12?
It's
get
true.
Out of bed at 12.
Because guess what? When it's your holiday, you do that.
Exactly.
So what are you teaching your kids? What even is the lesson here?
What?
Because you on holiday, you relax.
Yeah, the
so
lesson
why can't
plan.
They relax?
Yeah. Another thing with my dad is that he would always like, if you have a plan to go somewhere, let's say we're supposed to go, I don't know, out to somewhere. If it's at a certain time, like now it's like 11 and you're like, oh, dad, see, we go. He's like, no, now it's so too late. It's like we should have started. You wake up in the morning and you're just ready to go for this one activity. The thought of even leaving the house to do anything in the afternoon that you hadn't started doing in the morning.
It's too much. This is like, too much, guys.
I was like, we can't even go for dinner. Even if we said to leave the house at 6 p.m., we can have at 2 o'clock. To him, that was just never a thing. I've never understood that part. Like, it'll be 11 and he's like, you're putting on your shoes. Even as an, like, you're 15 or 16. Like, where are you going? Oh, I'm just going to town to buy some things. No, now it's like, it's 2 p.m. So some of these things, you wake up in the morning, you plan yourself, and then you leave so that you can be able to finish early. For what?
And then when I finish early, when I come home, I better not lie down.
For what?
I know our parents, they did our best.
Really
this other girl
us.
On TikTok said, those sarcastic comments like parents say, like, they ask you to bring something. And then you're like, mom, where can I put this? Put it on your head. It's like, I literally have no idea what you're talking about. Like, I just don't know what's happening. And there's a comedian who does this, like, sarcastic.
No,
you know, just rude. It's like, you're just being rude to me. What is this?
Exactly.
And then what about, somebody said about how it's like, I just want my kids in the home. I just want them around in the house. They can't go anywhere. I just want to hear that they're here banging in so that I can send them. And when the remote is right next to me, my child is upstairs. Can you pass me this remote? Guys.
Come on.
Guys.
Some things we still do, but let's try to minimize.
Guys.
Let's just try to minimize. Also, this thing of like, you always have to send the youngest kid to do things. Someone, I think two people had mentioned that. Like, it always has to be the youngest child that you send. May send all three just for balance.
Really?
Yeah.
Cute. There's some kind of hierarchy even in my like extended family. Mm-hmm. It's like, let's say like I'm driving in and I have like my cousins in the car. Mm-hmm. The youngest just knows he's the one who's getting out to open the gate. It's just the way it's like.
Is there trauma there?
There's some trauma there for sure. Even in the room, the youngest one is a horse.
That's wrong.
Because it's a coming of age.
Yeah.
It's like, I was a horse for my parents.
No, we are breaking it.
We are breaking that.
Please.
Just a little bit.
Go and get your own water.
Another one is I tell my children I love them. Some people grew through their life with their adult life without ever hearing their parents telling them, I love you.
Especially dads.
Yeah. Wow. Dads don't.
Yeah. Let's see that all the time.
I love you. You are important.
Someone else said, I don't care if there's food at home. We can eat out whenever.
Yeah.
I love that as well. Yeah. You can literally eat. You want pizza, we can get pizza. It's not like we're getting pizza every day, but it's just like it can be a random Tuesday and we can still get pizza. It doesn't have to be just on Sunday.
Yeah.
We can get it.
Someone's saying I'm stopping packing fruits from events.
No. What?
No.
We are packing.
We come from
event. What do you mean?
There's food I pack. So that you want, so we start going doing other dramas about food. Open that blue band carton right now. Open it.
No, that
and
one.
Fill
and
it.
Plus, if you like, the food is there. Ah, that one is not trauma. You be serious.
And actually, I feel like even as a single adult, I can tell you, I do this. It's like, why not take it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beating my baby for bedwetting or trying to shame them—that's the saddest. That one is a serious one, and it's very sad.
A lot of bedwetting comes from like instability in the home or like them just trying to process something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God, no.
Oh, wow. I feel like, I don't know if this is Kikuyu's that we're tagging. Mm-hmm. Bread and tea for breakfast. That definitely needs to go in the bin. I hate that breakfast.
Wait, what do you guys have bread and tea for breakfast?
I hate that breakfast. I just hate it.
It's definitely a Kikuyu thing, I think.
I think it's a Kikuyu thing. I hate it. Mm. No, it's one which is like I've seen so much, even now, happens.
Yeah.
I just hate it.
I like options for breakfast. Like options, just want to see what do people feel like in the morning.
And
are you feeling cereal? Are you feeling
ndaos?
Are you feeling, you know, fruit? Are you feeling Weetabix? Like, what are you feeling like having?
I can't even explain to you how I feel. And sometimes I have it. It's like, it's here. It's like I'm at my shoshos or whatever, but I just...
You'd
prefer not to have it.
They're not providing you. We have seen your high five. Thank you so much. Jesus. Yeah, so at your shows, they're not providing you blueberries and Weetabix.
Can you imagine?
What?
Can you imagine?
No, when you're going there, you need to just be carrying your own
Sometimes
shit.
I do. Mm. If I'm going there for so long, it's just like, I just know what's going to make me feel comfortable. So I just carry it myself. Okay. Yeah.
But then now everyone is eating their bread and tea and you're having your Weetabix and blueberries.
Yeah. And guess what my kids are going to be saying? Generation of traumas.
And we had Weetabix and blueberries.
Weetabix and blueberries. Like my mom. And this is how it goes, guys. So whatever it is that you think you're doing so special for your kids, there'll be somewhere in a podcast saying, can you imagine? Literally, I hated it.
Weetabix. I can't believe she did that to us.
Weetabix and blueberries. Yep. You,
they are there watching it right now. Isn't that crazy? Like one day our kids will be grown up and might be watching like our episodes.
That makes
Do you ever think about that?
No, not at all. But that sounds more to you because you know who your kids are. We know they're right there. Me, it just sounds like
it's some hypothetical kids.
Hypothetical kids. So it doesn't sound as scary. I feel like I stand by our episodes.
Yeah, me too.
And actually, it makes me proud. It's like, that's your mom. Nah.
Exactly. Flex. Great. Flex. Come on. Someone said in the last episode, they can't wait to see like Lydia get married and have kids and her beautiful story. That's all of us, guys.
Yeah.
But also, guys, and we need to all temper
Don't say expect- something.
For sure, we can't wait. For sure, we cannot wait.
I feel like it's
end of that.
Yeah, what are you going to say? I'm curious.
I was just going to say, people should not hold you to a standard that right now you're not holding to yourself. Like, why aren't you getting married right now?
Why aren't you having kids right now?
My
focus right now, to be honest, in this, my single season, I don't feel so... Sometimes you feel really excited about being in the streets and about dating and stuff. I don't exactly feel that way. I am in the streets, but it's not like this excitement energy. I more feel like my job, to be honest, is to have the discernment to know or to align with a partner who I know has the desire and the capacity to have the kind of relationship that I want. And, you know, obviously God has a lot to do with it. But to be honest, me, I'm more focused about the woman who I need to be. To be aligning with the kind of man who I'm praying for. That's really more my focus.
What is the opposite of being in the streets? Like, where am I?
You're not in the streets, obviously. You're married.
Yeah. So where am I?
I don't know, but not in the streets.
Yeah. So what is
in
it?
In the house. Yeah, you're in the house.
So someone could be in the streets or in the house.
In the house, on the streets, but also we are told there are different streets. Who are you?
No.
Oh, there's different streets. There's like somebody who's on Kenyatta Avenue.
Oh.
There's someone who's on River Road.
Biashara Street. There's someone who is like on Gong Road.
You never know. So it's like, even though we're all saying we're in the streets, it's different streets. Okay. So don't be going around to say that you saw me in the streets.
Me, I'm in the house.
We thank God. Yeah. At least one of us is.
At least.
Sissy, yeah. The streets.
Another one that was mentioned, and I think so many people went through this, is, you know how when you're young and your uncles, your aunties, whatever, your cousins come to visit and you're like, oh, give Uncle Nani a hug. Give cousin whatever a hug. And you just don't want to. Not even for any reason. Maybe you just don't want to, but you're forced to do it. That's something that a lot of people need to stop and break that generational curse. Because I feel like for many people, that was like the gateway into their sexual abuse stories. That's a bit of a serious one. But yeah, it definitely was a gateway. Like if your kids don't want to hug someone or kiss someone, because sometimes it's even a kiss, like a kiss on the cheek or whatever. Like they don't need to, they need to feel like that autonomy. You know what I'm saying?
That body autonomy.
That's the thing. Even when you tickle kids and they say stop, please just stop.
Yeah.
Because they want you to stop. I feel like such small things and just teaching them that no one can touch you if you don't want them to touch you, you know, and them to be able to respect that about other people as well.
Yeah. Funny enough, there's a cousin of mine, like kind of a distant cousin who we were told that when she was younger, she would just be told, like, you know, say hi to this person. And she didn't want to say hi, she didn't. Right. And she was like a tale of the deadliness or, you know, of the bad children, of the monsters that they can be. Like, that's what we were taught. It's like it wasn't kind of packaged from a place of, hey, this is like body autonomy.
It's she like, doesn't have to have you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like it was like bad children, you know. And as much as we are joking, guys, about some of these things stay with us.
Yeah.
They stay with us with so many ways. Like even when we are when it comes to the way we go about our lives, you can see the way we are parented in the way that we interact and we talk to people. And that's why we're always encouraging people to go to therapy. And if you feel that one of the things I hear people talking about therapy is that they haven't found the right one. I went to therapy and then this one didn't work. Whereas the same way is like if you have a broken leg and you go to one hospital and they're acting mad, you're not like, who? Anyway, me, I've tried. Let me just stay with my broken leg. No, you try something else because the issue is that hospital.
Also, therapy is not necessarily that, oh, I went through this horrible thing and now I need help dealing with it. Or like it's a breakup, it's anxiety, it's the depression. Sometimes it can just be like, I just want to know how are any unserious or serious generational traumas affecting me as a parent right now. I know I'm a great parent. How can I be better? How can I be a better parent? Are there things or, you know, I don't know, ways that I'm acting with my children or things that I'm doing to my children or with my children that perhaps to me, because of the way I was raised, are so normal. Because some things you'll interact with online, some things you just won't. And maybe you'll realize, actually, no, that's harming them more than it's helping them. Or it's harming you and your relationship with them more than it's helping them. So it could always just be from a point of, I want to be a better wife. Lydia said that she's certain that since I started going to therapy, I'm a better wife, I'm a better parent. And she said, I'm a better friend too.
100%. And it hasn't been like that long. But I can see in just like the way she's handling things, the way that she's viewing things. And so I'm projecting what you are to me now with like how you must parent, because you're becoming more sensitive, more vulnerable, more curious about other perspective as far instead of your own.
Exactly.
So yeah, no, it's amazing. I when I'm telling you, I am literally just like, on the edge of my seat about this journey. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
So, so proud of you.
I actually think if you are matched with the right therapist and you are doing the work required
in between sessions,
sessions, like you're doing your homework, you're thinking through the things that they have you've spoken about, you're trying to act differently based on the information you have, it's impossible for that not to reflect in the relationships around you and in your life. Literally, it's impossible.
Somebody said that. That's the, we haven't had ding, ding, ding in a while.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding.
That's a really good point.
Yep. Yeah, so guys, I know the topic, the title of this video said unserious generational curses / traumas.
Yeah.
But I know that some of these things have been pretty heavy.
Hello.
Pretty serious.
Yeah.
If I think anything to do with just like children
and
harm.
Your experience. Children,
yeah, exactly.
Because you can't change it back. Do you feel bad for yourself sometimes for like the things you went through as a kid that you, when you couldn't help it?
No, not really.
No.
I think I feel... Maybe actually when I think about my sister going through those things, like Nelly going through those things, I really feel bad for little Nelly.
Oh,
but when
no.
I think about myself,
oh,
I don't
worry.
Feel like...
It's a journey in therapy. When you start identifying like little Murugi and you, and now when you think about things like that, sometimes I think about it, it's like, you know, you were just a helpless kid. You didn't know. Sometimes you know how your emotions were and you just, you know.
Yeah, actually, that feels a little bit sad.
Yeah.
But me, I think more of like now, I guess just maybe from an empowering point of view, it's like I see my kids as little me.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I have influence here. I didn't
have
influence
a way
then.
To change now.
Exactly.
Yeah. For now, it's just for sit now, in that.
Oh my God. I'm really looking forward to my journey in therapy.
I can't wait.
I really am.
TMI, we are growing. We are growing.
If you say that.
Because I'm thinking, like, these conversations have just been like growth. Think about life. Think about yourself. Think about your childhood. And we love them. We really, really do love them, guys. And thank you so much for growing with us. Thank you so much for being open and just willing. And I know sometimes some of these conversations are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But your willingness to sit through that discomfort and grow, I'm telling you, you're going to be the beneficiary of that. It's you.
It's you.
You're going to see the beautiful changes and your people around you. But yeah. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for watching this episode. We hope that you enjoyed it or even listening to this episode. We will see you in our next one.
Bye.